Your Bibles to Matthew 5. Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you're doing. We thank you that you are God. We thank you that you are giving us more. And we thank you that we can sit at your feet and we can learn of you. Father, just go before us, touch us and strengthen us, we pray in your name. Amen. We've been talking about faith and a variety of things through there and so forth. And the reason we've been talking about faith is basically because it allows us, helps us to do six, what I think, extremely important things. The first one, and maybe the most important thing in our life, is to become born again. To enter into that relationship with Jesus, that we can't do it without faith. Second one is to grow in our amazing relationship with the triune God. One of the amazing things, and it may be so amazing to me because I was so deceived for the first 10 years, as you've heard, maybe some of you might say ad nauseum, but that you can have this amazing relationship, personal relationship with the Lord, guys too, and that you can grow in it. And it can be very intimate and sometimes passionate. I remember reading that I was the bride of Christ, and it was almost offensive to me the first time I read it. I'm the bride of Christ, Gary Behrens. But now, I'm the bride of Christ, and you're the bride of Christ, and it's an amazing thing. Third thing is, it's through faith that we can be all that God wants us to be, to enter into all that he has, to use the gifts and to walk in the gifts and to see them released in our lives by faith. The fourth amazing thing is that God trusts us to help him build the kingdom of God. By just being who we are, who he's designed us to be, by using the gifts that God has given us to use. It's not I've got to pump myself up to become something that I'm really not, but it's by being who I really am. The fifth amazing thing is that by faith, we can walk through valleys. Walk over mountains, walk on the flat places. You know, God said he's bringing the high places down and the low places up, and he's making the path straight. But in the meantime, we can walk through all those things in joy and thanksgiving. And the sixth thing that we've been really getting witness to by the Lord, and I think this is almost becoming our battle cry, is more. God has more. And by faith, we can walk into it. It's amazing the things that are happening throughout this world prophetically. That God is just speaking more and more to people about what he's doing. Carol Arnott, I don't know if you know who she is, but she and John Arnott, Pastor Vineyard Christian, Toronto Vineyard, I guess that's it, in Toronto, Canada. Chris and I visited up there a number of years ago during an amazing outpouring in the Spirit. And God continues to use this precious couple. And I'll just leave it go with that. And she had a vision recently to where she was caught up into heaven. And God told her that there was coming and outpouring of God upon all the churches. I'm going, more, Lord. I'll take more. See, that's why we looked at faith. That's why we looked at initial faith. That's why we looked at sustaining faith. That's why we looked at charismatic faith, because we want to walk more and more in faith. And remember how we talked about doing that through, and we're going to get into some of these things in the weeks ahead. through reading the Word, through prayer, through fasting. And when I talk about it, I'm not talking about prayer like, Lord, good morning, thank you for the wonderful day, and forget about him the rest of the day. I'm talking about intensive, let's go after him prayer, which is going on. And fasting. See, there's nothing more important. There is absolutely nothing more important, as I said earlier, than our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, with the triune God, with the Holy Spirit, understanding what he's doing. Because in the triune God, and only in the triune God, is everything good. Remember when Jesus was called good and he says, well, wait a second. This is my paraphrase. There's none good. No one but God. It's always kind of cracked me up because he's God. Okay? But that's the only good. And he's sharing it with us. And he's sharing that by helping us to walk into more, which is coming. You know, as I said before, people are prophesying everywhere. And I believe that as we walk more and more into him, we're going to walk more and more out of the case, sarah, sarah. Because we all fight it. We all find almost pleasure in just sitting down and letting the world go by and putting it in cruise control. You know, Chris laughs at me because we'll watch a movie. And for me, a movie is cruise control. I only need 5 movies in my life. That's all I need. I've watched The Majestic, which I recommend. It's my most favorite movie, secular movie with Jim Carrey, and he plays a serious role. I've watched it 7, 8, 9 times. And I can go home and watch it and see all kinds of new stuff. Because I just go into cruise control when I watch a movie. Okay? I don't want to get sucked in and take sides and get stressed out and scared and all this stuff. And if that's what you're into, you know, that's fine. But I just don't want to be case. I want to be, when I'm case sarah, sarah, I want to just watch a movie. You know, it's like I was watching some football yesterday, and after I turned it off, I was going, who was playing? I really had no idea who was playing, had no idea what the score was. But it's just my way of que sera, sera, I guess. But as we move into more, we're going to walk away from that. See, we must strive for, we must desire and have this great desire to have this understanding of who God is and what he's done for us. I believe that from the time we're born again, it's a lifelong endeavor. It has been for me. I suspect that it may be even eternal. I've heard people preach about how when you get to heaven that you're not going to just know everything, but there's going to be growing in him. I don't know if that's true or not. It's not really on my radar to think about. But yet at the same time, I say every time I see the Lord, I think he's so infinite and so big that I'm going to see something new. You know, I've told you a number of times, but it's appropriate and fits here, how when I was 2 years into the Lord, I had him 95% figured out. That was one of the most arrogant statements I ever made in my life. Because 43 years after I said that arrogant statement, I find myself understanding him 1 × 10⁻⁷ and continuing to drop rapidly, but yet I know him better and more. Because he's so huge, he's so big. It's a lifelong endeavor to be able. And what a privilege it is that he actually shares himself with us. Us who were fallen and now born again and still have the flesh and say, here I am. I want you to know me. And I trust you with knowing me. Hopefully, we will all have understanding. And we all have understanding to some degree or another of his greatness and a desire to move forward. As well as the many, 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 many blessings that he has for us, for which we can be thankful. And that's what next Sunday is really about, is sharing some of the things you're thankful for. It doesn't have to be a 35-minute sermon, because probably after 2 or 3 minutes we'd pull you off the stage anyway, but no, I'm just kidding. Or am I? But anyway, but things we're thankful about. Salvation, house, whatever. You know, we need to come next Sunday ready to thank God for whatever it is that he lays on our heart, because we all have things. We all have many things to be thankful for. So I liked how Terry put it, that this is a Christian holiday. And it really does have its roots in that. But what I want to talk about today is being the person that God has called us to be, at least part of who he's called us to be, and that's salt. That's a very important part of who we are. Matthew 5:13, and I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. You are the salt of the earth, but what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. And it's interesting, the position of this particular thing here, a verse here, because it follows right after the Sermon on the Mount, and it immediately follows after two verses where Jesus was talking about persecution. One of my favorite subjects. I'm sure it's one of yours. And it's Matthew 5:11, again, 12, reading New Living Translation. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. Be happy about it. Wait a second here. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. In fact, we are to be very glad. Here's the truth. If we are letting those around us know that we are the salt, it may not make them very happy. In fact, they may get downright mad. And they may mock us. They may even persecute us a little bit. You see, stuff happening where people who tend to be Christian or who are Christians, you see them being locked out of many things today. But where there's still assault. But the scripture I just read says, but we can be very glad. We can be happy about it. You know, has Jesus lost his mind? I mean, think about it. Being persecuted. We can be very glad. We can be happy. I didn't write it. A guy named Jesus spoke it. But he goes on and explains why we can be very glad and happy about it. Because there's this great reward that awaits us in heaven when we walk it out, the banner of who we are, when we are salt to this world. And the other thing is, we won't be in shabby company. The great prophets, the apostles. Tradition has it that all the apostles were tortured to death in one way or another except John, the Revelator. Boiled in oil, skinned alive. Crucified upside down. And then Jesus jumps into being us being salt. What Jesus is saying here, that we, the followers of Christ, are different. We're different. And it's important, it's very important for the world and the people of the world to understand that we're different. It's because, so they can see Christ, because we don't want Christ to be portrayed as just the world. And then hopefully as we do that, it will bring conviction to people. And yes, it might make people mad, because every one of us, every human being, there's something within us when we were created. It's like Terry was sharing about we are the breath of God. That doesn't mean just those of us who are believers. Every human came from Adam and Eve. Every human has the breath of God in them. Every human being has that call. What's it say, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his son, for a couple. 8 or 10. For us and no more. No, that all. So there's something there within all of us. And I believe that when we share the gospel with them, when we saw, it brings conviction, and that can make people mad. I remember what I did to Randy Haber for a year. Now, I didn't physically abuse him or anything like that, but I really persecuted him in my own way. And he loved me. And in the end, when I said, okay, tell me about this person, Jesus, and which was a funny question because I grew up in church hearing about Jesus all my life. Well, until I was 16 and my parents said, you don't have to go to church anymore, and I was out the door. I just need faith so that we can understand that we're different, so we can understand what God has called us to do so we can be that. We need faith to be all God wants us to be. We need faith to appropriate all God wants us to have. We need faith, whether it's initial, well, we need all three, initial, sustaining, and charismatic, so that we can walk the walk, so we can run the race that God has set for us, so we can be the salt that God has called us to be. But have you ever wondered about that? Why did God use salt? Did that seem a little strange to you? First time I read it, he wants me to use salt? What do you mean salt? There's not a lot of books I recommend, but one of the books I recommend is Manners and Customs of the Bible. Because when you read something like salt and you go to that chapter, it will explain a lot about why that what that term meant in that day. And it really helps us to understand what it means. And in that day, salt had two extremely important functions, of which they're not going to surprise us at all. First one is seasoning or flavor. The second one is preservation, or to be a preservative, or the other way to look at it, to be anti-corruptive. It would stop corruption. Seasoning to make the food taste better, and a preservative to retard. It's important we understand this. To retard, not stop, but retard decay and corruption of food. But before I get to those two, I want to make a very, very important point that helps us to be the salt. Salt was and is even today, unless you have high blood pressure, very, very important. There's a guy that named Baron Ben Sirin, and he wrote the book of Sirach. It was never incorporated in the scriptures. But he wrote it in 200 BC, and he made this statement. The world cannot endure without salt. Now, he may have been talking in the natural. I didn't look in enough depth to figure that out. But in the spiritual, that is very true. Salt is very important. We're called salt. Can we make that leap? That we are very important. That we are very important to God. And I know a number of us struggle with that. But there's freedom in understanding, not in a prideful way, but in a humble way, that we are important, that we are have significance, that we are, our lives were not just put here without a purpose. We have a great purpose. Every person in this room is important to me, and I believe that every person in this room is important to every person in this room. And each and every person, every believer, is important to all those that you're in contact with who are not believers. Because God has put you into their lives. You know, I hear people complain about their jobs all the time. I understand it at times. But what if we saw our jobs as a ministry where we can be salt? That we can see them as God put us here. He's part of the reason we're here. And he's got us here to give. Well, wait a second, Pastor. I go there to do a job so I get a paycheck so I can do all. Yeah, you did. Yeah, but what if a significant part of what we're doing is to be salt? To be the person Jesus defined us to be. We are important. We have to get that in our minds. We have to get that in our hearts. Again, not in a proud way, but in a humble way, simply recognizing the truth that God said we're salt. Salt is important, therefore we are important. Why? Because we are. Because we have an important job to do as God's salt. We are his ambassadors. We are his representatives. And what we're to do is to flavor and to preserve. The world needs us to do these two things. The world needs us to do these two things, even though they may not realize it. We need to be the salt of seasons. Food often, if not always, tastes better with salt. You go to any restaurant, you go to most people's homes, and what's one thing that's always on the table? The salt shaker. Now, Bert's house, the Tabasco sauce will be there too. I go to breakfast on Tuesday mornings with a bunch of people that are going to, with a group of people that don't go to church here, and we walk in, and when this one guy walks in, as soon as he sits down, somebody goes into the cabinet, whoever's the server for that table, brings out two bottles of hot sauce, sits it down on the table. Okay? But the salt is always there for everybody. Job 6:6-8, the first part of Job 6:6 says this, can that which is tasteless be eaten without salt? And the answer is no. That's my answer. When seasoned with salt, food often has a better flavor. It tastes better. In the same way, Christians add flavor to the world. See, we are the salt of the earth. We are the flavor of the world. We're bringing the flavor of Jesus into the world. Derek Prince, you know, goes back a long ways. Derek and the Dominoes, as we used to call them back in the 60s, 70s. Our presence makes the earth acceptable to God. Our presence commends the earth to God's mercy. Without us, there would be nothing to make the earth acceptable to God. Without Christians, there's nothing to make the earth acceptable to God. That's pretty fascinating, isn't it? We are the very reason. I believe this with all my heart, church. So we are the very reason that God continues to deal with the world in grace and mercy rather than wrath and judgment. Now, how can I say that? All you have to go to the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, the Sodom of Sodom with Lot in Genesis 18 to see the principle. What happened? Lot was there, family. God's going to destroy it. Abraham comes out with his class. If you find 50 righteous people, will you not destroy it? Yes, I will. If you find 40, yes, I will. If you find 30, all the way down. Well, the end result, it got destroyed. But the principle there is, it is never, ever God's will that his judgment on the wicked come on God's, on his righteous, on his sons and daughters. Yeah, there's evil in the world and stuff will happen, but it's not God punishing us. It's not the judgment of God coming upon us. Our presence keeps God from judging the world at this point in time. I believe that. Our calling is not finished. He wants us to be salt so that others would taste the salt, the goodness of God in their lives, and find out something. And that something is that it's very, very good. That Jesus is a cool dude. That I need him for my salvation. That I need Holy Spirit to help me. That this Jesus person and the gospel and all that goes with it are amazing. How many stories have you heard of people who malign the gospel and malign the triune God and then got saved and then just talked about how wonderful it is? See, that's why we're going to do the tracts. And really the purpose of the tracts is not to give a theological dissertation. It's to talk about how God has been good to you. What he has done in your life. the world needs, especially right now, with all the negativity out there that says that, you know, racist and this is and that is and misogynist and, you know, washing socks is and so forth. We need to have stuff going on that shows the goodness of God. And that's what we're going to do with these tracks. And the third point, besides being more important and tastes good, it causes food to taste, is it's a preservative. It keeps food from decaying. See, prior to refrigeration, which really hasn't been around that long, you know, especially by electric, before it was by blocks of ice and stuff, people used to preserve meat by salting it. The people who went west, young men, in the wagon trains, had salted pork. You know, the sailors who went to sea salted their meat. Now, there's something to remember about it, about the salt. It didn't keep the meat from total corruption. It's good to understand, okay? When it was killed, whatever it was, corruption of that meat started immediately, okay? That's why you get the stuff home in the fridge and all other stuff that we do to keep it from sitting out in the sun or whatever. What the salt did is it slowed down the corruption of the meat, keeping it acceptable for eating for the period of time it was designed and needed to be. So if the sailors went to sea for 30 days, they knew that that meat would be good for 30 days. I've tried to imagine it. Can you imagine salted pork, how salty that is? Could you even taste the pork? Likewise, when he says we are salt, he's saying we are here to slow the corruption of the earth. Romans 8:21, that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom and the glory of the children of God, which is talking about when Jesus returns, as well as the corruption of humanity in their activity, which started the moment Adam and Eve sinned. Have you noticed that there's moral corruption in the world? Have you noticed that there's religious corruption in the world? Have you noticed that there's social corruption in the world? And have you noticed there's political corruption in the world and in our country? But it shouldn't shock us, because the Bible told us in the last days it would get worse. And it's continued ever since Adam and Eve sinned, like I said. But we, the salt of the earth, are still here. Okay? And we're here for a purpose. And our purpose is not to abolish corruption and ultimate failure. See, all of prophecy, Ezekiel and all the other books, prophets and Revelation and how, whatever all that means, it's all going to come to pass. But in the meantime, we're the salt, and we're slowing that corruption down so that more and more people will come in to the kingdom, so that we can plant, so we can water, and we can trust God to bring forth the fruit, that his grace and his mercy will be fully spread to all those who are willing to receive it, to all his future sons and daughters. That's our call. We must not, though, fall into the trap that corruption is inevitable because it's prophesied, and it is inevitable, but don't fall into the trap and become passive. God's going to take care of it. No. See, God is still holding the law, the ultimate lawlessness back. In 2 Thessalonians 2:6-7, he says, and you know what is holding him, which is the man of lawlessness, which is old Slewfoot, back, for he can be revealed only when his time comes. For this lawlessness is already at work secretly, and it will remain secret until the one who is holding it back steps out of the way. See, God is still holding him back because the salt is here. I believe, church, that we, being the salt, is at least part of the reason that God is using us to help keep the secret and to hold back the lawlessness from being totally revealed today. Because we're salting the earth. We're salting those who we know. And at the same time, let's not forget that we're under the Great Commission, Matthew 28:18-20, and I'm going to read that in the NLT again. Jesus came and told the disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And that second part about baptism, some folks have approached me, and we're going to be setting that up sometime, not too far into the future. We, you and I, look at somebody and say, "You're the salt of the earth." You, the salt of the earth, guess what you're called to be? The salt of the earth. That's what you're called to be. That's what you're here to be, because we are the only fundamentally good ones on earth. It's not the guy that gives $25 million to every cause. If he's a believer, he's a fundamentally good one. But giving $25 million to every cause, and some of your minds are going, "Okay, who's done that?" Doesn't make them good. In God's eyes, they're still evil if they don't have Jesus' blood covering their sins. See, and we're fundamentally good because God made us that way. And he's proud of us. And he wants to show us off like a trophy, because we are like trophies. He wants to show the world what goodness is really like in your workplaces, where you are the salt, walking down the street, refusing to do something nasty when somebody does something nasty to you while driving down the road. You know, I think that tell about when we were coming back from vacation, the pickup truck that slammed on the brakes, and I thought I was going to become sandwiched between the semi behind us and this big white pickup truck in front of me. And I'm still trying to figure out why. I guess I just wasn't going fast enough, though I was speeding by 7 miles per hour. And I'm just like, I didn't have time to do anything nasty. I was just praying that we wouldn't die. That's one reason he wants us to ask for more, to be all that he has called us to be. So not only that we don't lose our saltiness, and not so God asks, "What good are we?" as I read earlier in Matthew 5. But so that we increase in saltiness. The worship team wants to come back, please. So we can increase in saltiness, the place where we are, where God wants us to be. So that we walk in all the joy and the peace and the grace and the mercy and the love and the kindness and the power and the authority that is ours through Christ Jesus, so that we, the salt, will say to the lost, so that what we, the salt, say to the lost will always be full of God's grace. That's what it calls us to do in Colossians 4:6. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know you ought to answer each person. Colossians 4:6 puts it this way in the NLT. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive, so that you will have the right response for everyone, and salt is attractive. If it wasn't, why wouldn't there be that salt shaker on every dining room table and every restaurant table? Salt mixed with grace, which we can do better and better as we walk in more. I really believe more is our rallying cry right now that God is wanting us to do. So let's ask God for more. Let's continue to ask God for more. Let's continue to ask Him to make us more salty. Let's push through the crowd. Let's go after God to be all that He wants us to be. So that we're hot for God and not cold or lukewarm. We serve an amazing God. And I am constantly blown away by the fact that He trusts me. I'm fairly open here. This afternoon, I'm going to share at this community thing, and I'm going to be very open with who I am and why I can be thankful. Some of you heard some of it, some of you heard all of it maybe, but with a different twist on it. And because I know myself better than you know myself, I have no problem going, I'm amazed that you trust me. Maybe you guys think the same thing, I don't know. But He does. But the wonderful thing about it is He doesn't want us to send us out there just by ourselves. He wants us to go. He wants us to be the salt. He calls us. We are the salt. He gave us the Great Commission. But what He wants us to do is go out there with all of His power and all of His authority. If you look at the New Testament, when Jesus sent out the 12 or the 50 or whatever, He always sent them out with a commission. And we have a commission to make disciples. But we do that by using the fullness of everything that is available to us from God, which is a lot more than most of us use. So as we worship, the front's open. If you need healing for something, you just want to cry out to God, I want more. I want more of you, God. I want more of your power. I want more of your authority. I want more of your love. I want more of whatever. If you need to confess that you haven't been the greatest piece of salt or salt shaker, that you really have no idea who Morton's is, and you can repent for that too. But there's no condemnation. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And that's the amazing thing about it. So as we worship, feel free to do what you need to do whatever business you need to do with God. And we're just going to worship for another little bit, and then we'll go home.